This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You are listening to Lucha Underground.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lucha Underground, the premier Lucha Underground after show. My name is Max, and with me, as always,
is Travis. Here we go.
All right. Overall, is this a good episode of Lucha Underground or the greatest episode of Lucha Underground?
I'm inclined to say it is. I would almost say a 5-star episode, almost. But I think the biggest wart was the commentary got really bad.
It was high concept commentary.
Yeah,
high concept commentary. It was not. Yeah, a bit of a black mark, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly didn't stand in the way of me enjoying the episode. Mm-hmm. It never overshadowed what was going on elsewhere, I don't think. Maybe once or twice.
Yeah, there were times near the end when I was really kind of sick of it. But otherwise, I think I was going to save this till the end, but I'll say it. This was their Chinese restaurant.
What does that mean?
That Seinfeld episode. It only took place in the Chinese restaurant.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? A self-contained, like, one long storyline the whole way through.
Yeah.
I love that they took that creative risk. I thought the vignettes... We'll get to it. But I was super, super happy with this episode.
Totally. Yeah, me too. It was super revitalizing, in a way.
Agreed.
For my enthusiasm. Not that I was ever in doubt,
but you knew that my last week I wasn't too thrilled with
things. Yeah, I think a lot of it for me just came from how long it took to get to Aztec Warfare, and there was just so much treading water that I forgot how good the show could be.
Yep.
You know, this is Lucha Underground at its finest.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Wow.
You got any news and notes?
Not a single one.
Well, I will say that there have been some differing opinions on this week's episode.
Really?
Because
of the intergender stuff?
Because of intergender. That's it. Some people just don't like intergender wrestling.
There were moments in this that I was... Not that I support intergender wrestling,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's easy for me just to accept that. Yeah, this person looks smaller, but you know, they can go toe to toe with whoever, right?
So for the most part,
yeah. So I that's easy for me to make that leap of judgment. But there were times during the match when I was like, oh, this is gonna backfire for those people who are sensitive to it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All of Pentagon's slaps.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we'll get to that.
That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Just the Pentagon slaps for me was just like, that's a little much.
But they were unapologetic.
That's
what I loved.
Absolutely.
About
me too. Me too. Me too. If you look at everything holistically for this episode, all the in-ring stuff, it all works. It all definitely works. It's just going, when you're watching it for the first time, you're experiencing it in sort of in chronological order. You can't see sort of the, what's the expression, forest for the trees? Something like that
sounds about right.
You know what I'm talking about, where you're so focused on the one tree, you're not realizing you're part of this huge force.
Yeah.
And definitely in the first match, it was sort of like, whoa, like this is just getting a little too weird in terms of the violence. And then the slaps just seemed, because it's across the chest. It's like there's breasts, and it's just like oddly sexual in a weird way. And then you got Vampiro on the mic being like, oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. We'll get to all this shit.
All right, well, let's do it.
Let's do it. Lucha Underground, Season 3, Episode 13. Starts with a recap. Dragon Azteca Jr. with Black Lotus.
I'm so pumped about this episode, Trav. I just want to hit some soundboard real fast.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Dario Cueto with Dragon Azteca Jr., Pentagon Dark breaking both of their arms, Warfare 3, and then setting up this gauntlet match.
Good bone breaking sound effects. Oh, dear God. They're just awful.
Yeah. That brings us to our first segment, which is Pentagon Dark and Vampiro. They bump into each other, kind of walking down. It looks like we're in like the back locker room or something backstage.
Yeah, who knows?
They kind of stand off. Vampiro talks trash. Says, just because I'm not your master anymore doesn't mean I've forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was totally good. I thought it was weird that they cut in clips into the vignette.
Yeah, they had
like
to
in-ring clips.
Remind us. Yeah.
I guess maybe they... I don't feel like I need to be reminded.
No.
But I'm a super fan.
Mm-hmm.
So...
That brings us inside, and we see the band name, El Conjunto Nueva Ola, the best band in Lucha Underground history.
Absolutely. We said it last week, say it again. This should be their everyday house band.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time.
Mm-hmm. The best.
Sets the mood.
And that brings us to a new episode.
Oh, are we doing
I'm going for it. Of... Man in the wedge.
I gotta get that wedge. Wow, well, Travis, I'm shocked that we're doing this.
It was a shady Mexican. And by that, I mean a Mexican hidden behind the shade. So don't read into that.
He's not Canadian. He's from Alberta.
But the reason why I'm bringing it up is because the new segment...
I have my heads in my hands right
new
now.
New segment that I started last week.
I am so... I just don't even know what to say.
The chick on the side said she's got something to say. That's the same girl, the lady in black, who I will say now, I think she's kind of Lady J-esque. Do you know
who? Oh, my God. Okay, wow. That's a deep kinda, cut. Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking
about. Yeah. So that shows, like, whatever, this chick on the side may be saving our Man in the Wedge segment. Because I'm going to make the prediction right now.
Okay.
The black glasses, leather jacket woman is going to be the Man in the Wedge next week.
Okay.
Okay.
And this gives us what kind of interesting insight into
it? It shows us that we're into the third day of tapings.
Oh, okay. Okay. I gotcha. Right.
And there should be two more. Within the
We would know that with the band.
Yep.
So then what purpose does it serve? Oh, I can't believe we did. I thought for sure Man in the Wedge was done. And now?
There's still a Man in the Wedge. This time it was a Mexican kid.
That's Mr. Really Cisco.
Hidden in the shade. So I couldn't really make out much of him, but I could definitely make out the lady in black with black glasses.
I just can't believe you went with the shady Mexican comment.
What? It's just a Mexican. I don't know what you're saying.
Super inappropriate.
It was a Mexican boy or teenager or a young adult, kind of obscured by shade.
Travis.
That would make him a shady Mexican.
For all the Trav stereotypes for you to lean into, you had to go with the being obsessed with race. Shocked.
Do you think I went with that title just for shock value, quite possibly?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so Matt Stryker. Another. That was a rejuvenating episode
of Man in the Wedge. Oh, yeah. I can't wait for next week.
Matt Stryker starts building up this night. He gives all the names of the Black Lotus Triad and sets up the match. Vampiro sits in silence.
Vampiro... His face looked so skinny.
I know.
He looked like he'd lost some weight.
Yeah. Oh, have you seen more recent pictures of him? Looks like he's lost a lot of weight, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that brings us to our first match, Pentagon Dark versus Doku. Matt Stryker reminds us of the gray areas here involved, that how Pentagon Dark is not a baby face, not a heel. This is good. This was important. I like this touch.
I did. What I worry about is the way that they tried to sort of retcon the chanting, because
I didn't like that either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Pentagon Dark walks out, everybody's chanting Cierro Miedo. And Stryker tries to push that, oh, you know, it's a complicated relationship. It's not that they're cheering for him. They're, like, taunting him.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
And I'm just like, what? What? No, why bullshit. Is that? What was that necessary?
Yeah, it was stupid. Yeah, didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is my only issue with this thing is the commentary, and that was one of them. I like Melissa introduces Doku as being from the Far East. That's an old wrestling trope.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like not even necessarily Far East, or from the
Orient,
or like the forest of the Amazon, or like things like this.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah. Well, they had done that before. It was like Aerostars from the Cosmos and
the Open Road.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so I like it. It's a good touch. So then Vampiro tells a story about, it's like Matt Stryker asks him what Doku means, and he goes off in a different direction. I just wrote, the fuck?
Yeah, there was a lot of that, man. Especially in this first match. He goes off on this really weird description of hell, like samurai cutting heads off, blah, 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 and that is what we called hell. Or it was like a soliloquy, like a I don't know if he wrote it himself. Yeah. I don't know if it was like some sort of like historical Buddhist parable or something like
there
this.
There is a slim possibility that his character is evolving because of what we saw at the very end here. So maybe this is a hint that he's getting more and more nutty cuckoo.
Oh, I think absolutely it was. Yeah. But at first, like I said before, it's like if you can't see, you know, the way this whole thing progresses, it progresses in a way that's like you're just not. There's the fuck, like what?
Yeah,
what the hell was that? But I guess that is kind of what they're going for. I don't know.
But even if they're going for it, they're creating a character that I'm going to find annoying regardless. If it is this more creepy, pervy,
violent. Well, it's asking a lot of somebody. I'm not saying. On paper, it might not be. It's not necessarily a bad idea, but you're asking for somebody that's a complicated character to pull off.
Yeah.
You know, Marty the Moth might be able to pull that off.
Yeah,
I don't know if Vampiro can.
Pull I don't know either.
But you know, so far it was. Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just confusing. But I also found it very easy to tune it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, I felt I tuned out just by default because he lost me.
totally. Well, it's weird because like a lot of the time, one of the biggest, I'm so sensitive to commentary. Like, commentary can break matches for me so easily. This is why you know I promote. I push for no silence. Commentary. I would like no commentary at all.
Yeah.
Just like a separate audio track that you can just flip over to somehow. You know, it's just like no. If I'm going to watch pay per view, I have so many language options.
Yeah.
Why can't I just have a no commentary option? This is what I want. Mm-hmm. Anyways, So I for whatever reason, I think it probably was just because it was so nonsensical at first, and your mind just wasn't prepped for it. That it was just so easy to be like, all right, this whole thing is to. Just push it aside. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But it doesn't get any better or less. It stays as convoluted the entire time, except he begins to throw in like sexual oohs and ahs.
Yeah, that's when it really started. And I was just like, shut the fuck up. So this match, Doku's striking early.
Doku's, when she shows up and she's wearing the leather jacket on her shoulders, she comes in arms crossed. I was just like, oh, that's so boss. Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah, they all had really good presence.
Yes, absolutely.
And it got progressively better.
Yep.
But after those a couple early strikes from Doku there, you get that stiff drop kick for Pentagon Dark.
And sent her like across the ring.
Yeah, and here you go. The tone is set for the night. If this is going to make you squeam or squirm or make you squeamish, then get ready, bucko.
Totally. It was, all three of these girls, they can take punishment. It's so good. Like, they just get tossed around. I said it before, it's like they have no bones. It's like they have no bones. Yeah. They're made of rubber.
Yeah.
They did not hold back. No. Really, really, shocking stuff.
Yeah.
Shocking, for sure.
This is a killer, killing machine of three things that they've hired, and they drew first blood. They came in, I mean, technically. Yeah, so sure. This is, they know what they've signed up for here.
Totally.
This isn't,
totally. This is where things begin to get a little uncomfortable, though, because so we have like a progression here of like, if you look at all three of these matches, this is how I view the sort of the journey that Pentagon goes on, right? Mm-hmm. The first one is essentially a squash match, okay? Yep. And then the second one is a hard-fought battle that he wins, and then the third one is a hard-fought battle that he loses, right? And he's basically at a disadvantage at that point.
Yep.
Because this first one was a squash, essentially. Mm-hmm. She has some surprising offense early.
Yeah.
But I mean, she doesn't get any other offense in, except for at the very top.
She got a lot of beat. My one real issue with this match is when she hits the spear as like a turnaround kind of thing. Because that's a total power move. Like, that's the only thing that kind of hurt it for what they were trying to do here.
You mean it wasn't believable in terms of the strength?
You can't,
I can justify it in my mind, she's a ninja. Maybe she's got special training.
Yeah, she knows where to hit her.
Yeah. But really, that was it. So she comes in, has a couple of hits right at the top, and gets basically destroyed by Pentagon for the remainder of this sequence till she hits
the
spear.
Her elbow drop.
Yeah, well, so she hits the spear, then gets to do one elbow drop.
I love that elbow drop.
It's amazing.
Gifts. I've seen gifts of it. I just love it.
Yeah. So she gets a spear, one elbow drop, and then the second one is reversed into him breaking her arm. Mm-hmm. So really, like, maybe she, the whole thing was Pentagon basically just taking her to town after being sort of surprised by her offense.
Small hope spot.
But because, you know, we're experiencing this one moment at a time, there mm-hmm. were moments in that when the squash kind of became a little bit too long or something, and it was just like, this is getting a little, like, bullyish in a weird way. And then the slap across the chest is just, like, very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't think you can really justify it, because it's not...
It becomes a theme. I know.
Does he land it on the third?
That was
the one where there was this, that was
like all boob.
I know.
It was all boob.
Yeah, I just don't know. But
this is what I'm saying. Unapologetic. And yep. That's. I think they're aware that this is something that's going to create discomfort.
Yes, I agree. Totally. That they are definitely aware.
I think that was the aim. To some extent. I went 3 stars on this opener. I thought it was wonderfully booked, believable intergender for the most part, and good heat that fits the story that they're telling.
That's a 3-star squash match in my eyes.
Yeah.
Maybe the best squash match ever.
Yeah. Outside
of God, bro, he could have killed her.
Outside of Goldberg Lesnar, that was the best squash.
Oh, yes. Oh, Jesus.
Loved it.
Okay, great. Yeah. It's funny when you have this level of talent. These three girls are all so decorated mm-hmm. and have so much talent that really, I think it should be said that you could have swapped out all three of them into these different roles.
I don't think so. I think I definitely saw more in Io Shirai at the end.
Okay, well,
they all have a good presence. She has a star presence, I think. Okay. And we'll get to her.
Oh, sure. In terms of presence, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. But I think in terms of ability, although I don't know if the first two would have been willing to do that jump off the Dario's office.
No. Yeah, but, no, man. Trust me. I did wait till we get to it. I love that last match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was so good.
Anything else?
Where are we at with this?
We're about to go to the next segment. Or unless you have anything else to say about that match?
Nope.
Next segment, it's Jeremiah working out and enter Katrina. Yeah. This was a what? Immediately, I thought this feels like a retcon for because of what's her name getting hurt.
Yes. And so they're having to remember last, after Aztec Warfare 3, when we looked at the description for the next episode, Every Woman is Sexy, Every Woman is a Star.
Yes.
This scene was supposed to happen in that episode, according to the episode description.
Hmm.
So there was definitely some last-minute shuffling to the point where the official sort of, episode descriptions hadn't been updated.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
But this was information-packed all of a sudden, the revelations. You're the one who brought me here.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Aren't you happy to see me again? He's like, you're not in love with Ivelisse, you're still in love with me.
He wears the stone around his neck.
Yeah, still wearing her stone. But then she says, I'm in love with someone else.
Yeah.
You got guesses on that?
Well, you would think it's Mil Muertes.
That's the obvious one, but I don't think so.
Oh, really? Captain Vasquez.
They've got the two sides of the amulet.
Right. They love that makes sense. There.
No, I think it's Phoenix.
Yes, dude. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That's so good.
Yeah.
Good call. Yeah. Wow, very astute.
But this provides.
Yeah, this was super dense. Was this more or less? This was so dense with information. It was on the same level as the Cobra Moon Drago.
The first
Drago.
The fuck?
Yeah,
Daga's been torn apart.
Yeah, yeah. Going the one in the bathroom.
He's your queen. Vinny Massaro and a pizza.
Yeah, yeah, totally. What the heck? This was. I mean, I don't even know what to say about it. It's just. I'm glad that. This character is going to have more.
Got more of
it. Yeah, he's got more. He's built into the story more. Purpose, he's not just somebody's going to show up and then leave or something.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. He's not just a carny. Yeah, that's what I thought he was forever.
The you know who I bet you she's in love with? Phoenix is a great guess. Nightclaw.
It's Hernandez.
Yeah, that's right.
I am in love with
Hernandez. Ever since he left, he's the only thing I can
think about. Out of my mind.
Oh, man.
But before I go, let me lick your face.
Snug.
Next match. Yeah. Pentagon Dark is on the mic before it starts and says, it doesn't matter who you bring out here, I will break all of your arms. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
Vampiro trashes... Who does he trash? I can't remember.
Pentagon?
Probably.
Matt Stryker?
No, probably something Pentagon.
Pentagon, yeah.
Oh, no, Lotus. I don't know. Or, I don't know. Anyways.
This is the premiere. Lucha Underground.
I write so many goddamn notes and so quickly that I can't read my own shit. So we get Pentagon Dark versus Yuri. What's her her name in Stardom?
Oh, her.
I downloaded. So after you,
Mayu Iwatani.
Yeah, or I found, I should say, the Stardom that eight night big series they had is like kind of their last big event.
Oh, it's like their G1.
Yeah, but I'd only checked out. 7 and 8, thinking, oh, well, like I saw Io Shirai's in the main event or like defending the championship in that. And then I find out just from match reviews that's like, ah, you know, usually expect better from her. So I'm like, ah, shit. So I gotta, like, I'm trying to track down more of her, but I wanted to find, some of the other ladies as well.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, man. I used to have, anyways, yeah, there's lots of good stuff out there for sure. You know who introduced me to Stardom? Not, I shouldn't give this person, not like we had a conversation about it, but, oh God, what's his name? He was on Team Angle. He's black. What, Sheldon Benjamin.
Oh yeah.
Sheldon Benjamin tweeted out a match. He was like, he went to a Stardom show and he was like, I just saw a 5-star match by this person. I was like, what the?
Yeah.
So check it out. It was amazing.
Yeah.
They drew blood.
Cool.
Crazy. And a big girl.
Yeah.
Like, I must have shown you the redhead, right?
The one you thought.
Yeah, like it looks like Adele. That's right. Of course. We've already talked about this.
That's
one
of your favorite matches of 2016, I think.
It was. Yeah. Absolutely.
Crowd's chanting Ciro Miedo again. Dueling arm drags. There's a good pace here to start. Vampiro decides that he needs to point out his Japanese tattoo.
I know.
And it's just like, blah. You're a awesome crossbody to the outside. Vampiro starts to like the violence.
Yeah, she performer had so much great attitude. She was loving the violence.
Great facials.
Yeah.
I thought that bell spot sucked. That didn't work.
Yeah, I wrote that down too. That could have benefited maybe from a sound effect.
Yeah.
You can't actually see it. It was pretty dark in there too.
She just wasn't. She was kind of holding back because you can't smoke somebody. You can't sell a bell to the head.
You can't kill people.
No,
you can't kill people.
But we did get the second. This is awesome chant tonight. Crowd is way into this.
This is mind blowing stuff.
Back in the ring, Pentagon Dark catches her in a half crab. I know you've always got room for those.
I've always got room for a half crab.
into a leg lock. And then Vampiro gets into another round. Let me tell you something about the dark side.
I know.
It's like you learn to take the pain. Take the pain.
God.
Shut up. Maybe that's what I wanted you to add to the stunt, to the take the pain.
Take the pain. You also had one where the crowd is doing like, this is awesome. He's like, yes. Or he's like, awesome. It is. Like, I gotta throw that in the soundboard.
So he sets her up on the ropes for chop number 2. She gets a nice Rana off the top, followed by a double stamp into a near fall. So this makes sense that they're starting to wear him down.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome spinning DDT is like a double spin on it.
Yeah, around the world, baby.
Goes to the top, and Pentagon catches her into that finisher and breaks arm for win number 2. A great finish on this one, I thought.
Oh yeah, the fact that he could catch her like that, like,
yeah,
that's gotta not just catch, like, just imagine catching somebody,
but caught her perfectly into
in that position. Like, whoa,
gotta say, went another 3 stars on this.
This was only 3 stars. Wow.
Yeah, I thought here's the problem. I thought at this point it was getting a little repetitive. You could, like I said, you could start to see him wearing things down, and also that bell spot really sucked, and that kind of took me out a little bit. But at this point, I'm like, I'm loving this app. I wrote it down here. Loving this app.
Yeah, totally.
And that brings us to our next match. Pentagon Dark versus Hiro Kirai. Then we go to break.
Okay.
So I think right now we should go to break.
We should go to break. All right. Here is a message from Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, Place to Be Nation Pop feed, Pro Wrestling Only feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show feed. which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Placement Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlacementNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Placement Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage wall pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Placement Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
So Travis, you had homework from last week, which was to decide what was it called? Lucha City Nights?
Lucha City Nights.
If Lucha City Nights is a half an hour sitcom or if it is a hour long crime procedural. Which did you land on?
I think I've decided, like, it's closer to like Barney Miller. Do you remember Barney Miller?
But that was a comedy, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think it's a little closer to that, but still shot and looks like Taxi.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Not shot in video, kind of has that kind of grittier look.
I love it.
Yeah.
Most definitely. And where does it take place? So it's a one, it's like the main set.
Is the front of the precinct.
It's the precinct. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay,
right,
cool.
That's where you always see the Scarlet Pimpernella is always there.
Yes.
Has a running gag.
Nice.
You know, the sassy POC. Who is the bailiff or whatever, who are the clerk.
Mm-hmm. POC?
Person of color.
Oh, God. Well, that was very sensitive.
Thank you.
Actually.
Yes. Thank you.
Well done.
I did that on purpose.
Yeah, no, that's good.
And, of course, the angry chief, who we haven't... Oh, but would also... Well, remember we had Fit Finley.
Yes.
Dario Cueto. No, it was Darcio Cueto.
Darcio Cueto.
Darcio Cueto.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like it, Darcio Cueto.
Played by Fit Finley. This is good. This is good. But we do also, I think we do need to cast that chief. But I think from there we might need to go outside the wrestling world and maybe go to like a Ed Asner type.
No, well, you got to find that within the wrestling world.
All right. All right. Give us some tips.
I'm going to throw out a Dutch Mandel.
I like it. I like it. It's a good start. I think you're on the right track. Put him on hold.
Okay.
As an actor, getting on hold is sometimes it's kind of like, all right, because you got to wait.
Okay, like,
I remember back in the day when I'd get put on hold, it'd be 90% success rate. Now it's down to about 60 or 70 in today's biz.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're blaming the biz. You're not blaming yourself.
No, I just think it's different now. Sometimes I'll get a turn that says first refusal, and that used to mean I'm not getting this.
I don't really need. I don't need a genuine answer. Thanks. Thank you for taking this moment to educate our listeners
on the biz,
because
I know a bit about the biz.
All right.
Okay.
Violence.
So next, speaking of violence, this is a killer segment. I loved this segment.
Yeah.
Matanza pounding on the wall in his cage. Darcy Ocanto enters, twirling his nightstick.
Oh,
Dario enters. Matanza doesn't want the title and roars, Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
Reveals a bloody question mark.
Which Dario, he's been punching into the wall. He's using his own blood
from his fists. It looked awesome. It looked awesome.
Yeah, it did look good, really good.
And
really
Dario
good set
just kind of quietly backs away. It was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a nomination for segment of the year. Sequence.
Wow.
Of the season.
That was a little short.
It was short, but it was perfect.
Okay.
No?
Well, I mean, it didn't move me to that level.
I loved it.
But I think that's just a testament that we don't really have a lot of contenders at the moment.
It's true.
Okay.
So that gets us back into the ring. Pentagon's waiting for Hidokiri, and we get a good sneak attack from her.
That was such a smart move.
Yeah.
Such a smart move.
And Matt Stryker puts her over early as in that she's the most dangerous one. She hits right after that sneak attack, a crazy moonsault to the outside.
Yeah.
Followed by an equally crazy tope. She gets a chair, and she is extra. Right away, I'm noticing she is extra aggressive compared to the previous two.
Yeah, she's fired up.
That's why I really love her presence. I find her incredibly sexy. Vampiro.
She'll tear you apart.
Speaking of what I just said, Vampiro starts to get more gross.
Maybe grosser. That had some effect on your perception of the wrestler.
Uh-huh. No. I wrote that down before he started. Fuck. It was awful. Pentagon Dark thrown into the chairs. She's really playing up the heel. It was good. Dueling Lotus Triad and Pentagon Chance. This is perfect. This is like, I don't know if they're pumping up the crowd there, but this is, if they're not, they're getting the precise desired response.
Yeah, exactly.
Nasty kick to counter from Pentagon. Holy shit, followed by a Sierra Miedo chant. This crowd was so hot for this.
Yeah,
it was, and then
so
we
good.
Get hard chop number three, and as I said, that one was a full-on boob slap.
Yeah.
And then a Jesus Christ, a face kick. And this is when I really wrote down and underlined unapologetic.
Yeah, no
about
doubt.
About the, what they're doing with the intergender.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, here's what you should have. Here's what needs to go to the soundboard. Dark arts, my friend.
That's what he said. Okay, hold on a second.
I can't remember what it was.
Oh, God.
Dark arts, my friend.
Okay. Let's.
You gonna track it down?
Yeah, I'm gonna try and. Okay, I'm just going to. We're cut right here.
Yeah.
Okay, wow, that was like a 15-minute process, but I think we got it. Are you ready?
Totally worth it.
Wait for it.
Dark arts, my friend.
Yeah. There you go. So okay. We can use this, when we don't know the answer to a question.
Yeah.
It will, the answer is inevitably.
Dark arts, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Definitely worth it.
Hiro Kire is thrown into the chairs, and then a choke with the cable spot, which was, again, also kind of...
Cable spot, I don't know how I felt about it either. That made me a little queasy, especially because I was actually thinking that that's how he was going to win.
Yeah,
I thought that was going to be the finisher.
Yeah, it was a little more extended than it needed to be.
Yeah.
Great crowd reactions. The ass shot with the chair. Pentagon Dark sets up the chair and then starts to get really stiff with Hidokiri. Builds heat, another throw into another part of the seats. And
her being thrown into the seats just looked brutal.
Tremendous.
Man, these girls really showed up and committed to this.
Yeah. And then he hits his arm cross pose. I really like that. That's like on his
t-shirt and stuff.
T-shirt, crazy stuff. Pentagon Dark hits an AA on her onto the concrete where he's peeled back the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where Vampiro starts breathing through his teeth. Ugh, so off-putting. Hidokiri, am I saying it right?
Hidokiri
counters Pentagon Dark to hit his head onto the chair that was set up, and then runs up to the top of Dario Cueto's office and hits the dive.
Totally.
Wow, incredible.
Yeah And she did not delay, you know. She threw him into the chair and capitalized immediately, ran up. It was like she knew exactly what she was doing. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was so good, and
it was momentous. But Matt Stryker could have phrased that a little better. I'm like, not that this is important, but that's the first woman to do it.
I didn't mind that, actually.
What I would have just done is, like, the only people who have done this are Angelico and who was the other one who did it?
Aerostar.
Aerostar.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. I was totally fine with it. you know, come up with it off the top of your head.
Yeah, I guess.
It could have maybe, if they were purposely trying to make it monumental, then I think it could have been worthy of going back in and re-recording some of the commentary.
Yeah.
Just for that one moment. Yeah. I know that they are not apt to do that.
Well, hey, maybe they did. Maybe they went back and Vampiro added more of the...
Yeah. I gotta. Yeah.
This is awesome. Chant number 3 of the night. Hidokiri crawls over to Pentagon Dark, rolls him back in. Pentagon Dark gets a brief hope spot, which is great. This is what is really interesting, is starting to see him as a face in peril, and it evolved over time.
Mm-hmm.
It made sense. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And she counters for that awesome sunset flip powerbomb for the win. Awesome. I went 3 3/4 on this match.
Only 3 3/4. Okay, so for me, here's a question.
It lost on that choke spot and some things like that.
Now, for me, this it was a series of short matches, but when I look at it, I actually see one match in its entirety.
So did I. I almost thought about doing it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pentagon Dark was an MVP for sure tonight.
Well, for sure. Most def.
Yeah.
We talked about it a couple weeks ago, but I'm not a fan of him wearing body armor.
I know.
I think this would have been a great opportunity for them to pull it off of him or somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like maybe in the second one, so he has like battle damage.
Yeah.
You know, that might
like
also kind of visually communicate a little bit more that, like, you know, he is now vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Mm-hmm. How many different colors has he worn?
Oh, dude, let's not.
Pentagon doesn't. Does he have a change?
Yeah, he's worn 2.
Changed to dark, right?
Yeah, so he was more white and black, and then he went to like this darker version with the sparkly hooded mask.
Mm-hmm.
I really love his gear right now. I know how much I just stock. I know I'm contradicting myself because I don't like the body armor, but overall the look, functionality aside, I think it's just amazing.
I remember my favorite was when he had like this kind of underwater theme.
We're not taking the bait this time.
So Black Lotus starts at the top of the stairs.
I get annoyed when we go into it and I'm listening to the replay.
Really?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's
beginning to annoy me.
You tell us. I know we've got some fans who like it. Anyways, Black Lotus starts out at the top of the stairs, and this was great. And the other two are behind them just holding their arms.
Yeah. They're tough characters. Those characters must be tough.
Yeah. And we go to the break. So it starts from that, like, just approaching the ring. Marty can't start the match because Pentagon Dark is out cold. But Black Lotus just starts the beat down, pushes Marty Elias out of the way.
Yeah.
Pulls Pentagon Dark over and breaks his arm.
It was so good. I did not see that happening at all. It was so good.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, totally. And then, of course,
Vampiro stands up smiling.
Yes, yes.
We get another holy shit chant. And then Dragon Azteca Jr. stands at the top of the stairs. And I can already tell what's going to happen. And I'm like, I love it. This is perfect.
I thought for sure he was going to come down and start something with the Black Lotus drive here.
I was
and
sure I was like, okay, he's going to cash his receipt now, too.
Oh, it was great.
Matt Strike.
And also confirmed that he was not killed by Chavo.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Good. Thinking he had been murdered.
Yeah. I do like that Matt Stryker put over the kind of complex relationships between these three at this time.
Totally.
Then potential trio. Yeah.
Because trios tournament has got to be coming up.
Yeah.
So is it not like Dario to be like, all right, Black Lotus, Pentagon Dark, and Dragon Azteca Jr., you're a team.
Oh, that'd be pretty
good. And the Black Lotus tribe, the three girls, that's you're another
they,
team.
Yeah, that's what they have to go against. That'd
oh
be
my
something.
God, that'd be sick.
But I like, so the Black Lotus triad is ordered to leave. Dragon Azteca Jr. shouts without a microphone, en español, this is my vengeance, and breaks his other fucking arm.
It's so good. So good.
Great stuff. As I wrote here, MVP stuff from Pentagon Dark.
Yeah, it really
match.
Was.
He really showed a different levels. Like I said, to see that character in a face in peril, as a face in peril by the end, is so interesting. Really, really great. I loved it.
Yeah.
So is he just gonna be like have those kind of like stiff arms, like he has to go sideways through doors now with these monster
God, who
casts?
Knows?
That would be hilarious.
Pentagon Dark.
He just turns into
broke his back last season. Then he was in a robotic wheelchair.
A wheelchair.
So maybe this time he could get some more like robotic.
I'd like him to have the full on like stretched out like arm things, but also for some reason he's got has to wear some headgear too, just to make him like extra. Like he also racks my overbite. So he just like turns into a nerd.
I cannot even imagine what they're gonna do with this.
I know,
and that's why it's so exciting. Yeah. I just love it. Yeah. I love it. This is my favorite episode this season, hands down.
Yeah.
This is probably my favorite, one of my top episodes of all time.
I agree. Me too. And we didn't even mention the last segment.
Yeah, totally.
Kando's piano. Puma awakes. And we see this new creepy vamp saying, come with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, a near perfect episode.
Yep, for sure. I'm
Chinese restaurant. The parking garage.
Yep. I am getting a little annoyed that the only person to stay dead from being in those coffins
is King Cuerno.
Is Conan.
Yeah.
And maybe King Cuerno.
Yeah.
But yeah, he could be back.
At this point,
one of the things I loved about Lucha Underground off the top was that characters died and stayed dead.
Yeah.
There was some finality to it, and it raised the stakes in an interesting way. And that was, I think, just an illusion.
What's the number one rule in comics, man?
I don't know.
Only Bucky stays dead.
Yeah, okay.
But even not... And you know what the number two rule is?
You know what?
Hulk smash.
That's fine. That's
like for all those conversations. Who would win in a fight between... And the answer is always Hulk smash.
That's fair. That's fair. I don't know. I just... I wish those coffins would be more meaningful. And I was thinking about it. And so how can you do this while still maintaining all of your big characters and things like this? So how about... You would it be too weird for there to be grave consequences like squash match from time to time, like
just clear up continuity?
Yeah, totally. Like Daga, okay, so or Nightclaw,
yeah,
you know, like okay, just Nightclaw's gonna
kill the guy quickly.
Yeah, so put his gear on somebody else, shoot it real fast. He's dead.
Does that guy though wrestle as Nightclaw elsewhere?
That's a good question.
Or like with that mask even? Like, is that his thing?
It's got to be... No, I don't think so.
Nightclaw?
I don't know.
I wonder what plans they had for him that have been
tossed. I don't know. I hope that they had plans, you know?
You know what I think? I think originally they had plans for Bengala, and things went sideways with him. So they brought in Nightclaw. So now they're on the get ready
after underground after show.
Get ready. I'm thinking pretty soon Snow Leopard.
Totally. Why not?
Yeah.
Snow leopards are found in like Russia, Kazakhstan area.
There
so
we
you could
go.
Have like something like
good,
that.
Good, good, good.
I'm into it. Who let's say we still have not confirmed a season 4 yet.
It sounds like it.
I don't know, man.
It hasn't been...
As soon as Lucha Underground is over, they're like, okay, we're not... This was a great idea. Unfortunately, we're just not making enough money to continue to do this.
Yeah, the ratings are down.
Ratings are way down.
Yeah.
So at some point, it's probably going to come to an end. I can envision a timeline where this is the last season.
I can, too.
As soon as that happens, the whole thing is going to become this cult...
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why I was going to bring up how you had talked about syndication a while back.
Yeah.
I think that will be, and when I talked with Pete, he says this is a show that is meant to be, or like benefits from binge watching
and repeated watching.
Yeah, yeah.
There's lore in it, right? And it's so digestible.
Yeah.
And so it's the type of thing, you know, where you can flick it on and just from like a few moments, you can sort of place it in the timeline. You'd be like, oh yeah, this is this episode where this is kind of happening. So it's definitely like, listen, I will archive it. I'll show it to my kids, you know. It's like if it lasts for 10 seasons, it almost kind of loses a certain something about
sure.
it, I think.
Maybe.
I tell you what, Trav, if this goes to season 10, there's still going to be like, the war is coming.
Yeah, it's possible.
Oh,
you
I
might
know
be
it.
Right. You might. I see what you're saying.
I know it.
Yeah. Having a...
It needs to...
an absolution.
Yeah. If they could go to like... maybe 5 seasons.
I think that,
and have
ideal.
It come to a conclusion,
yeah.
And then maybe you could do something like a movie, and then you could take the whole team, and you could just be like, okay, well, Lucha Underground is over, but the show. Now we're just going to adjust it, and we're just going to, you know, there'll be a new show the next season. You can have different performers, you can have different storylines, different setting, who knows what.
Yeah.
So it's not like the people have to stop getting paid to do work, but I think this would benefit with like an actual conclusion.
I agree.
And I'm worried that there won't be. I'm worried that they'll just end and it'll just
be over. Like I said, from what I've heard, that the ending or the tapings of season three had a sense of finality to it. So, yeah, we'll see. Next week.
Next week.
So you've told me, Max has told me to stay away from the
that's right.
titles. So I'll issue that warning to those of you out there as well, trying to avoid spoilers.
Oh, wow. Okay. Huh. The next episode is called The Bulls of Boyle Heights.
Hmm.
The Bulls of Boyle Heights.
Scottie Pippen enters.
Okay, and here we go. So this is what's particularly interesting. The Battle of the Bulls tournament begins.
I think that's the trios.
Is that the trios?
I think so. We still got to get back to
be some kind of new
still tournament. Two matches to one in Tejano Cage. Hey, haven't got back to that.
Oh yeah. What the heck is that about? Oh, God. Who's ever going to win is going to become like
a god.
Yeah. There's so much stuff going on here.
Half a medallion. What the hell? Jeremiah Crane is not just a carny.
I forgot that one of them was going to become a god. That's so wild. So the Battle of the Bulls tournament begins. Cortez Castro goes deeper undercover. And Cobra Moon tells the history of her tribe.
Oh.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of questions.
Yeah. Do you think it's just she's just going to have a bunch of wrestlers sitting in front of her, like story time at like.
I could see that. Like kind of a vignette with just sort of like, you know, maybe like a Taya style. Like, you know, they used to do those sort of like introductory vignettes?
Yeah, we haven't seen any of those. So I guess you don't really need to be introduced as much.
That's true.
And all we did get was the rabbit tribe forever. I guess those would count as like an extended introduction.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, I would think it'd be something like that. That's my guess.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Anything else you want to chat about?
No, I did mention, talking about comics, it reminded me that there's on the PTBN Pop feed, two of the Titans of Wrestling do a show, Kelly and Johnny Sorrow, called Imaginary Stories, and they've started looking at the Amazing Spider-Man role, Amazing Fantasy 15 up till Amazing Spider-Man until John Romita Jr. was done looking at it. It's in two parts. It's awesome, man. I highly recommend it. To hear them kind of go over all these storylines and what was going on with Peter in the 60s and how it was like trying to reflect and how different he was as a superhero because he was having real life problems. Some stuff that people have talked about a lot with the character, but it's really interesting and it's long, but
how long?
3 hours.
I'm not going
to. Just have it on in the background.
I think 3 hours long.
I'm going to tell you. Start it. See where it goes. See if you want to keep listening. I didn't think I'd listen to all of it, but I ended up really, really enjoying it. So I will recommend it because they are part of the Place to Be Nation family, Max.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, for sure. Yeah. You know, I'm not saying it's not that it's.
I know.
Nobody should listen to it. I'm just saying 3 hours. That's a lot of time.
You don't have to do it in one sitting. PTBN Pop Feed, by the way.
What else did they have on the pop feed?
So there's top beers, good thing for that. A lot of recently they had top five animated comic book shows. I think you'd like that because I know you're a big fan of
Batman the Animated Series.
I'm pretty sure that was number one. Pretty sure it was. And things like that. It's worth checking out. It's more comic book oriented than anything else on PTBN.
Cool,
but we like comic books.
Yeah. That's pretty much it for... That's it?
That's it.
All right, we'll be here next week.
The question is, will you join us?